This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Speaking about mitzvahs, I can't wait to see Brother Haney come out at his, well-deserved, Brother Hoffman on special assignment in the DOC. And it's only fitting that I don't travel alone, coming off what we witnessed last night, really the rebirth of, only I could think of, the San Antonio Spurs in a defensive-like-minded performance that was breathtaking. So I said, let me think. There's only one man that can speak to this, and it's T-Mass. Tony Massenburg opens up today on the Hoffman Show, DOC, and Anthony Ant-Man and T-Mac. I can only wonder, when you watch a basketball game as an analyst with the Wizards, when you see a game like that, which is defensive-minded, guys doing what we teach young kids to do, play on both ends, play hard, be aggressive, do the game right, I can only think what it brings back for you, the way you were coached as a Terp, your illustrious career, it had to make you smile.
Definitely. I mean, I think when I look at this year's playoffs, these 2025 playoffs, Doctor, I really love the fact that they're allowing these guys to actually play physical basketball, which gives to me an emphasis on the defense that's being allowed to be played. You know, when you get to a place where you can't touch the guy at all who has the ball offensively, as a defensive player, you have no chance to guard some of these guys because they're great with the basketball in their hands. But when you allow a level of physicality and then you have a team like OKC who has a plethora of just great defenders from the interior to the perimeter, and they operate really, really good together. They're all in sync defensively. They move in tandem. They cover each other's backs. They cover the pick and roll as excellent as anybody in the league. They defend the paint, and they are exceptional individual defenders, one-on-one defenders. And so when you put all that together, it makes for a real potent defense.
I was talking to Anthony in our, you know, pre-game huddle, and just talking about what does this remind me of. I mean, they've got, I call them aliens, and they've got like 7 or 8 of them. They come at you. First of all, when the star plays defense, as Michael did, and even, I mean, Irvin tried, Bird tried, but they weren't great defensive players per se. But with your crew, with Pop in them, it was mandatory. And then you talked earlier about the Bad Boys, and that kind of reminded me of that. They're a little bit like a throwback, but are they being embraced by the Hoops community and the public? Because I don't hear about Big Three with this group.
Well, you don't hear about Big Three because, number one, Shai Gilchrist is an unselfish superstar. He is a very much in the mold of a Tim Duncan, of a David Robinson, basically guys that you have seen over the years with the San Antonio Spurs. And when you have unselfish superstars like that, it really cultivates the growth with the other players because they feel like he's getting them involved. He plays with them rather than them playing with him. With that meaning, when I say that meaning, it's a real team-oriented brand of basketball. Even though Shai Gilchrist Alexander is the star of the team, he plays with his teammates, and so that allows his teammates to be the best version of themselves, and they play off of him, and they understand that he usually is going to be the guy to close the show at the end. But in the meantime, they all play their roles on both sides of the basketball, and again, that's why I think OKC is light years ahead of a lot of teams in this league because they understand how important it is to be able to stop the other team, as well as they understand ways that they can run their offense to get everybody involved. It's not just about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, but it's about his teammates as well and the role that they play and how they all embrace their roles.
Yeah, and T-Mass, picking up off of that, we saw, you know, the Thunder go out there and really frustrate and sort of kind of limit Anthony Edwards' effectiveness. Do you think they had his number? Like, what does it necessarily boil down to? Is it coaching? Is it, you know, Anthony has to add something to his game in order to, you know, get past this team that he's probably going to see in, you know, for the next several years or so?
Well, I think when you look at defensively what they were doing, they were switching. And the problem is when most teams switch on to Ant-Man, usually at some point he exposes the switch. The problem with OKC is that the switches were occurring a lot of times between Jalen Williams and Lou Dort. Or if he's Lou Dort's guarding him, then he somehow gets switched off to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Okay, then back to Williams. And then when he, you know, they run a pick and roll with the big, then he gets isolated with either Holmgren or Hartenstein, both of which as bigs, as 6'11", 7-foot guys, both of which can move their feet well enough on the perimeter to force him into a tough shot. So when you're Ant-Man and you're trying to figure this defense out, and by the way, that's what's happening when they're not double-teaming him. Usually he's seeing a double-team, and so he has to give the ball up early, but during the times where he's individually trying to run a pick-and-roll or if he's trying to break down a defender, he's just going from one good defender to another good defender, and they have a deep rotation of players. You know, they're playing 10 guys. And so each one of these guys that comes in is a great defender. And so if you're Ant-Man or anybody else on the Timberwolves, every shot that you take, you really have to work for it. And so when you put forth that type of energy offensively, then you go back down defensively, you know, you're starting to feel it by the fourth quarter. And I think that's what we've seen in this series with these two teams.
Yeah, and I think with Anthony Edwards' game, like, I think a lot of what we saw in this series was perimeter-based. And we've seen a lot of great players come into the league and, you know, struggle initially and then add things to the game. And I think one thing that's missing from his game is his ability to post up, play with his back to the basket. And I think we've seen MJ, we've seen Kobe, we've seen LeBron add that to his game over the years as well. Do you think that is something that he'll have to add to his game in order to, you know, limit what defenses are trying to take away from him, which is attacking the basket?
Well, it would allow him to get baskets easier. He's still going to have to deal with what he's going to have to deal with defensively. But if he can get to the post, then he's not working as hard driving to the basket. If he can go down and if he can get a guy down on the box, then hopefully he could give him a couple of one dribble or a turnaround jump shot or, a drive to a face up and drive to the basket. But when you don't have that in your game, you're often tasked with trying to take on two defenders when you're breaking your guy down on the perimeter. And if you're able to get by him, usually someone else is stepping up to help. And so that's a really tight window to operate in, where is, you know, an MJ or a Kobe, when they saw that, you know, a couple of times in a row, they would immediately take that primary defender to the box, demand the ball, and then they would start to, you know, to play off of that. If a double team comes to the box, then they would make the right pass. But, you know, a lot of times they were able to get a shot off before the double team even came. So I do agree he's going to have to add that to his game, because what has happened is OKC has now shown everybody the blueprint for how you defend him.
Explain Dort to, because a lot of guys who play football, this dude looks like a linebacker, and he's so committed to defense, and I'm happy. I think all high school and AAU coaches are so thrilled that what OKC has demonstrated, and, you know, not the Knicks D up, Indiana, the Pacers, you know, give you some too, but these dudes, they're getting accolades for it. Caruso is, I mean, he's playing up size-wise, downplaying guards and playing centers, and we're discussing it. And I just want to make sure the effort is being appreciated, because it's how you were taught the game, and it's how you played the game, and it's how you won championship with this same mantra. And that's why I thought you were ideal to preach to the DMV today about why this is so successful.
Well, it's working, number one, and again, I don't, you know, I don't like bringing referees into it, but the style of play, because the playoffs, for whatever reason this year, they're allowing the series to be more physical, and physicality will always favor defensive players, because initially, you know, in order to stop some of these guys or even slow these NBA guys down, you have to be able to you know, there's got to be a level of physicality that you got to be able to establish. If you can't touch these guys, then it makes it virtually impossible to guard any of them. So this looks more like old school late 80s, 90s, yeah, early 2000s yeah, type basketball, yeah, because of the level of physicality that's being allowed to be played. It's working for OKC in particular, because they've got the bodies to throw at a guy like an Anthony Edwards or anybody else for that matter. And when you have bodies that are productive on both sides of the basketball, like the majority of OKC's roster is, if you notice, when we talk about OKC, we never talk about certain guys being specialists. Oh, this guy's a defensive specialist, or this guy's a rebounder, or this guy, you know, he's a rim runner. All their guys, they are well-rounded. Even their big guys, you know, outside of Hartenstein, he's probably the only, maybe the only guy on the team who doesn't consistently shoot three-pointers, and he can take them. He just, you know, he doesn't shoot them at a high rate, but he can also make a three. But we know what Chet Holmgren brings as a you know, 7'1", you know, finesse player for the most part. So this is why it's working. They've got the bodies. The style of play that's being played in the playoff basketball suits OKC because of the depth and the physicality and the shot blocking and rim protection and the ability to score the basketball. All these things weighs in OKC's favor. They are really literally built for the playoffs.
It is, and I'm just glad that it's being translated this way and not as a negative. I mean, the Knicks, they grizzled down Ananobi, the boy. I mean, they come after it. And Towns is just, I'm glad we got to see this version of him. I appreciate his ability with the long range. I love his mid-range game. The boy is physical. I'm disappointed that he got nicked. I'm proud of the way he plays. But I think Bridges is the gap. He's the guy that in order for them to have a shot at it, he's got to play out of his mind.
He's got to be the one of the guys, because they don't have a lot of scorers outside of Jalen Brunson and Karl Anthony Towns. And so Ananobi, as you said, because he is a what I consider a two-way guy. He plays both sides of the basketball. But he also logs a ton of minutes. Yeah. And that's the criticism that I have for New York. All their guys. I saw a statistic the other day when it was broken down. When you talk about the minutes that Indiana starters plays versus the minutes that New York starters plays, it's like they've played 600 to 700 more minutes over the course of the playoffs because Indiana goes deeper with their bench. That's something like 15 more games on their bodies, and you're seeing that. You're literally seeing it play out in real time when you look at the Knicks. They just look tired at certain points. They're not lacking fight or effort. They are lacking energy. And part of that energy is because if you're Jalen Brunson, you're an undersized guard, you're carrying a scoring load at the NBA level, at a very high level as a scorer, and you're counted upon to do that. If you're Karl Anthony Towns, and you're looking at him, yes, he plays physical, but he also spends a lot of time on the perimeter. So, you know, he has nights where he's more effective than others. But overall, when you look at the Knicks, they're just not deep enough. Tibbs plays them a ton of minutes throughout the season, and it's usually in the second round here for the last 2-3 years is where we have really seen the Knicks falter. And usually it looks like it's either due to fatigue or them just their bodies physically breaking down, like what we saw last year when they were dealing with a bunch of injuries, you know, to the team.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This thing, when I heard about it, Anthony, and we discussed this a little bit with the Pacers, and you start hearing about, you know, about respect and who gets it, who deserves it, who's a star, and who's not. And this deal with Halliburton, for a guy who's been there and done that, when you look at the Pacers, how do you identify them as a team?
I think they're actually similar to OKC. I think Halliburton, though not quite on the level of a Shai Gilgeous-Alexander because he doesn't deliver that type of consistency, but he does have big play ability, big shot making ability. Because he does have those things, he will have nights where he will look like, you know, a top five, top 10 player in this league, because when he's on, he's really on. He can make shots from anywhere, you know, out to Steph Curry territory, and he can pass the basketball exceptionally well. So when you look at what Halliburton brings, when he is consistent, he gives them a chance to win, because he uplifts the play of other guys around him, which is what most superstars, you know, are able to do. When you think about, you know, how can they get to the next level, meaning, okay, well, can they actually win a championship? You know, it would require significant scoring, help from others, you know, obviously outside of Halliburton. It would really require a defensive effort, I think, that I'm not sure Indiana is capable of. I mean, they're obviously playing great defense, but it's really been they get key defensive stops more than lock you down the way that we see OKC locking down. And so if they can continue to do that, you know, and close the series out against the Knicks, it could be interesting, you know, with them in OKC.
Do you think, or I guess I'll rephrase it, how do you think the Knicks should go about defending Halliburton if they want to extend the series? Should they try to make him a scorer, or should they just try to make him a facilitator? Because last game where you go out and get 32 points, 15 assists, and zero turnovers, like, it's sort of kind of a double-edged sword, because it seems as though, like, he can kill you from both. So how should they attack him?
I think I would try to make him a passer. I would try to, you know, if possible, take the ball out of his hands by double-teaming him and making someone else make plays, but that's easier said than done at the end of the game.
He almost had a triple-double in the first half.
Yeah, that's my point. And so they obviously rely on him to do this stuff. So, you know, again, that's something that's, you know, easier said than done. But when you allow him, but you got to basically pick your poison. You cannot allow him to score 30-plus points, have 10-plus assists on a regular, you know, because it just can't. I mean, that means if he's having 10-plus assists, that means he's getting other people involved at a high level. And if he's giving you 32 points, you know, 30-plus points a game, then obviously you're not doing a good job of stopping him either. So something's got to give. How does that happen? I'm not coaching in the NBA, and, you know, these guys get paid a heck of a lot more than I do to figure it out, and they're seemingly struggle to figure out how to stop him. So, you know, like I said, you do your best to try to make him a playmaker and limit his shots, so that he doesn't get a rhythm and maybe try to force somebody else to beat you.
This is a changing of the guard. No matter what we say, how we feel, Tony Massenburg bringing it down, breaking it down for us, because some of the old heads they've been decapitated. They've been shoved. And this is what happens. You don't ease out. You have to be eliminated. and pushed out, knocked out. And Ant-Man kind of we were talking about this in our meeting this morning. When they asked him, are you down? He said, no, I'm excited. And part of me really understood where it was at, although it's weird. He says, nobody's going to outwork me this offseason. I'm 23. And I'm trying to get this for the old heads. But I know I'm going to be there. He said it in a way that was confident. But I'm not sure everybody's going to get this the right way. And that's why I was running by Ant-Man. Our Ant-Man, and he said it very well. Is this guy maturing in a way, or is he hiding the pain? That's what Anthony and I were kicking around. And we're going to put that to the public as well. Did you have a problem with Ant-Man's post-game comments?
I didn't have a problem with his post-game comments because I think everybody processes loss their own way. You know, again, he's been the sole leader of the team. He's been the guy that, you know, as he goes, so they go, more or less. And so when you're the guy who has to carry the load that he's had to carry all year long, dating back to, you know, disappointing outing in the playoffs last year, we don't really get to say, as people who are not Ant-Man, how Ant-Man should process losing, you know, a playoff series, and particularly in the fashion though that he lost it in. So I don't have a problem with that because when I watch him play, I see him giving the effort on both ends. I see him doing everything he can offensively. I see him trying to make plays defensively, and I see him trying to lead his team. I genuinely think that he has a champion's mentality. He just doesn't have a chip to show for it. So with that being said, I'm going to expect more from him in the future. Now, I preface my comments with saying I didn't have a problem with what he said. I would, you know, if I were in his camp, I would caution him to say, you know, do not take these, you know, Western Conference semifinal appearances for granted. Don't take them for granted. Don't take these finals appearances for these Western Conference finals for granted because – each year, you know, is a different challenge, and there's not a guarantee that you will get back there, you know, at any point in your career, let alone next year. So to him, I would say be cautious, but stay hungry.
Ant-Man?
I mean, to be honest, we got to go to break soon, but I'm curious to know who you deem as the face of the NBA because, again, they're kicking around Shea. I think everybody, including the media, wanted it to be Ant-Man. But, you know, him with these underwhelming performance in the Western Conference Finals, I sort of kind of hurt his bid for the face of the league. And the only name I would throw out there, and I will question you why he isn't getting recognized more, is Jason Tatum. The numbers Shea put up in this series against the Timberwolves, Jason Tatum did the same thing last year. And for some reason, I don't know why he doesn't get the same acknowledgement that, you know, some of the other top players in the NBA have gotten.
Yeah, well, I think that's a combination of a couple of things. Number one, I think when you look at Tatum's personality, he's not as outgoing, I would say, as an Ant-Man. I think Ant-Man, when you look at these two interviews, you know, of these two guys, you know, Ant-Man is going to give you some sound bites just from some of the things that he says because that's just kind of who he is from a personality standpoint. And when I think you look at Tatum, he's more laid back, more, you know, conservative, I think, and the fact that he's more traditional as a basketball player. He plays for a story franchise in the Celtics, and there's a certain, you know, level of decorum that I think they expect from Celtics players. And so I think when you look at the two, you know, probably the reason, you know, part of the reason why Tatum may not be the face of the league is because he, you know, much like Ant-Man, doesn't seem to really want to embrace that. If it happens, it happens, but it's not something that you can see, you know, he wears on his sleeve that he wants to be. And so, you know, at during the time that I played, it was more or less – establish who the face of the league was going to be by the way that that person performed. You know, now there are other factors sometimes that weigh into it, but ultimately it always comes back, you know, from a player standpoint, you know, what level of respect do you garner amongst other players? And while I think Tatum is respected, I don't believe he's feared. You know, and a lot of guys are not feared. Most guys are not feared, regardless of their talent level. And so I think, you know, it's hard to look at players in today's era and really pick one that you say you actually might fear, you know, as far as him having a ball in his hands with 5 seconds on the clock and his team is down by 1 point. Not a lot of guys like that. So I think when it comes to faces of the league, it's really kind of a pickle.
Mass, once again, man, outstanding. And we appreciate you dropping knowledge on us. Enjoy the games, man. And we'll be leaning on you after another sterling performance. You the best.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Appreciate y'all having me.
All right. Thank you so much. Tony Massenberg covers the NBA for the Wizards. We won't hog the mic. We'll allow you to join us, 301-230-0980. DOC in for Craig and with the Ant-Man, our own Ant-Man, right here on Team 980.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.